Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. So we have a bit of a different show for you guys today. Pete and I were going to record tonight. We had some issues here with my daughter. Everything is fine, but then we got news that the NBA is going to return on December 22nd. Adam and I were still able to record because we tend to record a little bit later. And I thought it was a really good show. I thought we got into what this might mean for the various teams and more of a wider look. And I'm just going to go ahead and rip the audio from there, or most of the audio from there. It's a really good look also, I think. If those of you who just listened to this show, it's a cool opportunity to check out one of the shows that Adam and I do every week. We do it every Friday over on the Locked On NBA channel, where you can find, if you just Google Locked On NBA, every Friday Adam and I do this show, and it's legitimately one of my favorite things that I get to do in my career. Just don't tell Adam that I said that. So what I'm gonna do, I'm just gonna go throw it right into the podcast that he and I recorded together, and I'm gonna let that run. And then tomorrow, when Pete and I wake up, I'm going to try to talk him into recording an extra show, seeing as we had a shorter week anyway this week, and there's a lot going on in the NBA world. I'm going to try to convince him to record an extra show tomorrow, and I'll throw that up in the afternoon sometime. Either way, though, if it isn't he and I or whatever, I'll hop back on this channel and give some Lakers-specific thoughts on what the league resuming on December 22nd might mean for them. So let's go ahead and throw to Locked On NBA for this week. It's a really fun episode. I think it's really informative, and yeah, we'll see what you guys think about that. And then I'll probably talk to you guys here in a few hours. Welcome everybody to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Adam Mattis. Adam, we have gigantic news. Huge news that affects the entire country.
You're going to annoy me already. Okay, go ahead. What is it?
NBA basketball is going to come back.
Oh, I thought that's what you were going to say. I thought you had like a dad joke or something in there.
The news is that it was going to, like, really, you don't get the joke? You don't understand the joke that I was making?
Oh, about the election? My God, yeah, this is a terrible
joke.
We
have huge news is going to affect the entire country, and how did you miss that?
Off to a rough start here.
Okay, anyway.
You and I always talking about the election on our show here.
The good news is this is going to pick back up. There's only one way to go from here than up. Today's show, obviously, like I just said, and the joke that Adam just missed off, like in just an embarrassing fashion.
How bad of a joke it was.
The NBA and the NBA Players Association have agreed to return to basketball. The league will kick off on December 22nd and will be a 72-game schedule. So Adam and I are going to spend the first two segments talking about that and the various aspects and angles to all of that, because there's a lot to get to on that front. And then because it's going to be another one of these kind of experimental seasons for a variety of reasons, we are going to, you know, offer up five of our own. Or Adam is going to offer up five of his own. I've already given him a couple, and he ignored both of them.
Yeah, don't take credit for this. I'm very excited for that segment. I have some, you know, one or two, a little bit forced, but I think there's a couple in here that I honestly, sincerely would love to see the NBA implement, not just this season, but perhaps something they can implement just forever going forward. They're little tweaks, but I think everybody would be on board with them.
I'm excited that you're excited about one of my ideas. That's all, you know. But like we said, though, let's start with that, with the report. Woj, and I believe Shams also are reported on this one, that the league is going to come back December 22nd. It's going to be a 72-game season. Yeah. And they are going to now work on the cap and free agency and all of those things. And actually, that's kind of where I wanted to start. This is going to be a insanely frantic off season where it's going to be, you know, the draft. Somebody lobbed the idea out there on Twitter about whether or not they should move up the draft now that they know that they're going to start in December, I'm sure these teams have as much information as they can get on them. Maybe move it up an extra week and give everybody time to really put their teams together. But how do you think everybody's going to handle an offseason that's basically going to stretch 2 weeks?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, first of all, that's not entirely fair. This has been coming. It's not like we were not in the offseason before this news broke. We've kind of seen this coming.
Well, no, but I mean a transaction period.
Yeah, transaction period will be very, very, very fast. I think you're right about, I mean, there's no question you're right about that. I mean, we might be 10 days away from our first trades, you know. So the trades are going to open up here very, very quickly. And then, of course, free agency immediately following. But you're not wrong. This is all fast. This is all happening in a little bit of a chaotic manner. The one thing is, I told you this on the show last week, Anthony. You didn't really push back on this. You saw it coming as well. Mm-hmm. But there were these negotiations going back and forth, like, oh, okay, we're going to try to move it up December 22nd. Oh, you were saying the owners were trying to push it up for money reasons. My point was, guys, there's no other way for this to happen. Either everybody takes an enormous pay cut, or we end up just doing this on December 22nd and moving forward. So it's really quick, 7 weeks away. It's going to be really fast. I think it's going to be a little bit chaotic, including once we get into the season. You know, the NBA did an incredible job of pulling off the bubble. There was the bubble. If you look back at how the NBA bubble went, remarkably mm-hmm. smooth on all accounts, including if you go back and think about the protests that happened in the middle of that bubble. And still, mm-hmm. even with that, the NBA was able to handle that and mm-hmm. and move forward. So they handled it really, really well. We talk about a season that starts in 7 weeks and is going to span months. This isn't a bubble where it's a blitz and team. The pool of players gets smaller and smaller. This is going to be, you know, 30 teams traveling across the country playing in this thing that's getting thrown together so quickly. I'm a little concerned, Anthony. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, this definitely feels – remember how long it took to put the bubble together?
It felt like it, yeah.
You remember how long those, you know, the negotiations went on and whether or yeah. not they were, because remember the first conversation wasn't even about the bubble. It was about whether or not the season was going to take place. This is different, where they knew all along there was going to be a season. They had two starting dates in mind. And now it's about, all right, we arrived at that decision. Now we got to figure out all of these details that are hugely, by the way, dude, we just crossed 120,000 cases today.
So this is this is an important point here, because if you think back to the bubble, you know, in the middle of summer, when cases were actually kind of at a low, there were still mm-hmm. a lot of players that were late arriving to the bubble. Because of that, a lot of players that tested positive coming into the bubble. Once you got inside the bubble, a lot of success. In fact, total success. But getting players into the bubble took a little work. We're 7 weeks out. We're 4 weeks out from training camp. So right. I think a little bit less than that, actually.
Less than that.
Yeah, less than that, 3 and a half weeks.
Technically speaking, some of these guys should start quarantining like next week.
It's true. So I'm certainly concerned with the league's and each team's ability to sort of arrive at their training camps without these cases. And then, of course, for us to get through a long winter. So it's going to be tough. But here's the thing, Anthony. I don't blame the NBA. And I just
no.
It might honestly be the best option on the table. It just, there weren't any good ones.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier, it's either start now or wait a month and take that pay cut. Doesn't exactly shock me that 28 of the 30 teams were all perfectly fine with not taking that pay cut. And the other two teams that are probably the most concerned about starting up so quickly all over again, their voices probably were kind of lost to the wind on this one. And yeah. and frankly, I kind of understand why. There's yeah, there's just so much money at stake here. What's that?
Yeah, I said that's democracy in action. I mean, you are right. There are a lot of teams that have waited. But, you know, you think about the schedule and having to throw together a schedule that quick. Now, of course, there aren't huge events being put on, so it's going to be a little bit easier. Usually when you create a schedule, you have to, okay, concerts are in town, and where is this booked, and, yeah. and what are the logistics? Maybe a little bit easier, but still – going to be awfully tough. There's a lot of questions to answer about just the travel schedule for teams. How are they going to handle that? How many back-to-backs are you going to have? Are there going to be back-to-backs with travel? There was talk at one point about trying to have these series where maybe Denver flies to LA and plays the Lakers two times in a row in LA, mm-hmm. and then LA flies to Denver, plays Denver two times in a row in Denver, and you know, maybe trying to do that, because then you cut down on, you worry about an outbreak. And if you have a team playing four or five different teams in 1 week, and then they test positive, or a player tests positive, then you worry about all those teams that they played and everything else. maybe you try to have teams play each other multiple times in a row. So if there is an outbreak, it's easier to contact trace. Maybe the NBA tries to do that. I suspect that they will try to implement something like that. So a lot of logistics that just have to go into the next couple of weeks. And it's just going to be absolutely hectic.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a quick second here. When we come back, there's still a lot more to get to regarding the actual basketball, for example.
We got to talk about who benefits off of this, who doesn't. Yeah.
So sit tight. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Imagine being one of the schedule makers in the league, seeing that report cross your desk.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I personally, are you a procrastinator? I'm a big time procrastinator.
Oh, you? I would never have guessed.
As we recorded 11:45. But I could just imagine somebody just gets the Woj tweet. Oh my God.
Gets what? Work.
Yeah. We have to do what and how quick? The math behind it's insane.
So one of the things you start to think about before we get into the season, Anthony, I want to ask you this is, do you think that this is going to have a big impact on the way teams approach this specific offseason? Meaning, do you look to make big trades? Do you think teams play a little bit more conservatively? Is this an opportunity? Oh, everybody's going to be conservative, so maybe we can be more. I mean, just how do you think this is going to affect teams' game plan? Because there is a real scenario that a player is going to be traded on the day that training camp begins. I mean, just because these things are going to overlap so much, you might go into training camp not knowing who's available to you, not knowing because of health reasons. You might not know because of, well, we're not done with free agency. We only have 11 guys. We're still trying to sign guys to make a full roster. Right. Do you think this changes teams' approach because they're like, we don't have that much time. We have to just play it safe.
So I covered the Dodgers for a little while, and the trade deadline kind of came and went. And there's this thing amongst people who cover baseball, they have hug watch, right? So usually what you're looking for, if you show up to the ballpark and the trade deadline is there or somebody gets traded, you see everybody kind of gathered in the dugout giving hugs.
Yeah.
And you tweet out, oh, we got hug watch. I think somebody just got moved. And I feel like we might get something like that this year for basketball at Media Day, for example. And then... Yeah. You know, in terms of the way teams approach this, I really think that you still go gangbusters if you feel like you have a shot at the title this year. And a lot of teams probably feel like they do. Last year's championship was very wide open. The heading into the playoffs, you had three teams that you don't normally get to talk about, three teams feeling like they were championship favorites. And the next tier, like the Nuggets weren't considered in that tier. Well, they were Western Conference Finals team.
Right.
The Miami Heat weren't considered in that team. They pushed the Lakers to six games in the finals. And you now have Brooklyn, who is going to have KD and Kyrie in the fold. You're going to have Golden State getting all of their guys back. And I'm sure there are quite a few teams out there who are heading into this year and saying, we might be one move away from really catching up to somebody or leapfrogging somebody and putting ourselves at the forefront of a championship. And I feel like that's how, you know, maybe a quarter of the teams heading into the season probably feel.
Let's use the two big name disappointments this last year, the Clippers and the Bucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Two teams that I think are in win now mode, and you look at their rosters and say, okay, if you run it back with what you had, it clearly feels like something was missing from those teams. So if you're the Clippers, you're the Bucks, do you say, okay, now's the time to try to bring in a Victor Oladipo, knowing that he might arrive into town on the exact time when training camp begins? And by the way, the season begins a couple weeks after that because everything is muted. Only three preseason games, a couple weeks of camp. If you're a team like Milwaukee and you think about a big move, something that really changes the fabric of your team, I think it's realistic for those teams to think, I don't know that we can integrate these guys the way we usually can before the season starts to get away from us.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the player. Oladipo, for example, is a really, really tough one. And there was a report today that teams are reluctant to trade for him because they haven't seen him play long enough over the last 2 years.
And so he didn't get a full off. Like, I guess he kind of had a good off season, but I don't know. It's tough.
Not in a traditional way.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and now we're heading straight into the season. Camps open up in a month. So I'm sure teams are really going to be reluctant to trade for Oladipo. And by the way, if he's healthy, he could swing it. You know, if he goes to the right team and he is ready and 100% ready to go, like that's a guy who could, you know, change, maybe not turn somebody who's on the outside looking in at a championship chance, but somebody who, if the right team, if Milwaukee for some reason, or the Lakers, if one of those elite teams lands him, that changes the way the season looks. But
Bradley Beal,
that I'm not sure anybody's going to take.
Well, Bradley Beal, Drew Holiday, these are other guys. I mean, you look at Golden State, for example, or even a Milwaukee, we can go back to them and say, okay, do they swing for the fence? You really push all your chips in and get Bradley Beal, which I think most of the time you'd say, if you can get a guy like that and keep most of your core intact, okay, that's a great move. But then there's the whole thing of, okay, well, Golden State hasn't played in how long? They haven't really, you know, they've been off for almost a full calendar year when you talk about their core guys, if not longer in Klay Thompson's case. 2 weeks to integrate an entirely new piece, come back from an injury, and hit the ground running. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of I am not confident that a lot of teams are going to take stabs like that this year, nor am I confident that they should. I think that teams might be a little bit more inclined to fight for continuity, the teams at the top, than before. But, you know, there's that rule in investing. When everybody else is being conservative, that's when you be aggressive. When everyone else is being conservative, you be conservative. And I wonder if there's teams that are maybe not at the top of contention. Maybe they're your Philadelphia's with Daryl Morey, who's been known to take these types of approaches. Maybe it's teams that are not quite in that contender range, you know, a Dallas or something like that, that they're trying to climb into there. Maybe they look at that and say, okay, this is opportunity for us. There's some players out there that, you know, maybe we'll take a big swing now because nobody else is willing to, and we might be able to get a deal with it.
Beal's an interesting one because I feel like he doesn't need the ball as much as, say, Chris Paul or Drew Holiday or even Victor Oladipo. Beal's more of a plug-and-play type talent, and I feel like so Denver, for example, if I were a Denver fan, I would much rather the Nuggets go after Beal than Holiday, personally. And it has a lot to do with how quickly things are expected to turn around. If you bring Holiday in there, now you're hoping that Jamal Murray and Drew Holiday can figure out a way to play in this 2-point guard system. And by the way, you also have Jokic, who you want to have the ball more anyway, whereas Beal, you can just kind of throw him there. He's going to be able to go get his own bucket. He's solid enough defensively. And like that kind of, if a deal for Beal presents itself, that's the one that I would really kind of keep my eye on, because there is so little turnaround time and he is such an easier fit with what most of these championship teams need, right? Like Milwaukee is an interesting one because if you just upgrade from Chris Middleton to Bradley Beal, you're a better team. If you go the Clippers,
maybe,
right? Yeah. If the Clippers really want to go all the way in, right, and you say, let's try to form this big three, it's a little perimeter oriented, but he's just an easier guy, I think, to fit into your fold, and you don't have to worry about completely reshaping the system that you were going to play heading into this year. Those guys, the point guards, like Kendrick Perkins was out there talking about Chris Paul for the Lakers this year. One, mathematically speaking and cap wise, it's not
an option. I don't see how it works.
It's not really an option. But two, now you're hoping that LeBron and Chris Paul can figure out, two very ball dominant players are going to be able to figure out what that's going to look like in a very short amount of time. During an offseason, by the way, where most of the focus for the Lakers is going to be on recovering. They just finished playing a couple weeks ago. So, I think some team out there is going to be very aggressive. Maybe even a handful of them because of the way that this season is constructed. But it's a big ask. I agree with you completely. It's a big ask to fit a star into what your regular team dynamic might be.
We might even get, also as part of this, is just anytime you throw chaos into the mix, shortened schedule, shortened offseason, shortened training camp, all this stuff, I think it raises the odds for, especially when we talk about just playoffs, maybe not championship success, but just regular season success getting into the playoffs, it raises that possibility for the lesser teams. And those, are, to me, are the Memphises, the Phoenix Suns, the Sacramento Kings, maybe even the Dallas Mavericks, the teams that were, or I guess the Mavericks were in last year, but maybe to climb. It just creates that extra little layer of chaos that says, okay, if a team gets hot in the regular season, 82 games, and they get hot for 10 games, going a 10-0 winning streak, you know, maybe that's enough to completely save the season on its own. You have a 110-game winning streak, you're a playoff team, you know, but now with a 72-game season, with a tighter schedule, that 2 weeks of getting hot, instead of being a 10-0 run, maybe that's a 12-0 run, or, you know, everything gets a little bit more condensed. So I do think that we'll probably have an opportunity. Minnesota, you know, has some talent. Maybe they get hot early and it just carries them for longer. I think we'll see a little bit of that this year. There'll be a little bit of – I don't think we can sit down and say these are the eight best teams. These are going to be the eight playoff teams. I think there's going to be a lot more variables than usual.
Last thing before we move on and get to your power rankings, do you think the basketball is going to be any good?
I don't. Let me rephrase this. I think the basketball will be good, especially if the NBA is able to reduce travel. If they are able to say, like, okay, usually division teams play each other four times. Can we play two in a row? You know, you fly to Utah, you play two games. You fly to Denver, play two games. I think that can – we saw that in the bubble. The level of play was high, I think, in part because there was just less travel. So I think that there is an opportunity for that. But that being said, especially early on, with how much they have to play, with how little a training camp and offseason and all that stuff, I do think it'll be a little rushed. It'll be a little muted. And the early parts of the season – when I say early parts, the first two or three months of the season, I think might be a little bit, you know, sloppy. I do think we might even see some blowouts, which maybe is a good lead-in to the power rank.
All right, let's go ahead and let that be the natural segue. I'm not as worried about the basketball. I think
what about
the league
injuries, though? What about injuries?
Well, that's different. I don't consider that a basketball thing so much as, like, that's just a human body thing. I'm just talking
we're
about
seeing
the
this,
level.
We're seeing this a little bit with the NFL, though. The NFL opened up first two or three weeks. We saw a lot of injuries, and you thought, well, okay, well, what's the point? Why do we rush through this? Because now – so that could happen with the NBA. You get a handful of injuries early on.
First two or three weeks, dude. The Niners, like, half their roster had COVID tonight. Anyway. All right, so let's go ahead and let you kind of lead us into this and talk to us about what the parameters of your power rankings were this week.
So the parameters were just little fixes for the NBA to make it a little bit better, or little tweaks just specifically for this year. Maybe it becomes a test run for things you can implement a little bit later. And I like this one. I like some of the ones that I put together here. So I just teased, you know, blowout games, and we might get a lot of blowout games. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to watch the garbage time. It's not that useful. We're already talking about having to play all these games. And if you start a game,
but when will Michael Porter Jr. score?
Well, come on, low blow. That's not even accurate. That's not even a good one. You could have come up with a lot of better names. But they're Lou Williams. So you can actually go to so if we look at it, you have the 72 games on your schedule. We can't take games off the table. This is what the league partners want. But do the league partners really want a fourth quarter with a 30-point blowout when there's no energy in the building? Obviously no energy in the building, really. But no energy on the floor. So what if we made a 20-point fourth quarter rule? If you get up by 20 points in the fourth quarter, at any point in the fourth quarter, the game is called. One reason I'd like this is, okay, the Lakers – let me paint a scenario for you. The Lakers are up against the Clippers. I'll make it happy for you. The Lakers are up against the Clippers by 13 points.
Impossible.
To start the fourth
quarter. It
doesn't
happen in the regular season.
We'll just say it happened, okay? we'll say 15 points. 15 okay. Points. LeBron might come out to start the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis might come out to start the fourth quarter and say, you know what, we're going for it. If we can put this thing – we're 5 points away from putting this thing away. Now, a 15-point fourth quarter, people, instead of tuning out, they're tuning in. It's league pass alert. The Lakers are about to 20-point the Clippers. This is becomes a whole new dynamic. You save a little bit of fatigue. There's a little bit more incentive for these teams. LeBron, he wants to take a rest day on a Wednesday because he's played a lot of games. What if instead you say, no, I know it's the Hawks. I know usually you would rest. Just go out there, put the game away at the start of the fourth quarter, and you get a light night.
Maybe not stop it altogether, especially given, like, what's going on right now. A certain somebody wants things to stop, counts to stop right now.
Oh, my God, stop the count. They'll call it the stop the count rule. I love it, yes. That's the Tuesday show. We figured it out. The NBA stop the count. Oh, my God.
But I do think a running clock is very needed in the NBA. Oh, like, just
– I can't believe you're taking my awesome – no, because you're taking my awesome idea of this, like, number. You can't tell me you wouldn't be – you would rather – I'm just saying, if you have a game and it's the fourth quarter and you're like, oh, my God, they only need to hit this three. Imagine you have
– that would be fun. It's the Warriors. You get the Elam ending?
Yeah, it becomes an Elam ending of a blowout. Exactly. All right. the Warriors are up 17 to start the fourth, and here's Curry. They've got the ball. If he hits a three,
shooting from 50.
Of course, you knock this three out, you got 20 points. And then on top of that, all of my rules, all of my little tweaks I have here are designed to make the game more petty, which by extension makes us more excited. And you can't tell me that a team would not be just like so. I mean, there might be no team that plays harder than the team down 19 points early in the fourth. That's just like, we're not going to get 20 point rolled here tonight.
Yeah, they start fouling up, or they start fouling, you know, when they're 3 points away from being down 20, right? Down 17, they start fouling to make sure that they have to go to the free throw line to actually like not get knocked out in that
moment. This is a great rule. Oh my God, they need to put this in.
What's number four? If that's your fifth one here.
It wasn't. I moved it up. That was one of my favorite ones. I'm not going to lie. My worst one, and this again, I told you it's all about the petty. We had the bubble. I've heard from everybody that was inside the bubble this last bubble about how much trash talk there was and how great that was. The NBA muted it. Now, you might not be able to do this live, but we do mic'd up. You know, we do all these alternative, you know, you could log in and you can have the floor arena. Look, guys, lean into it. This is what the people want. We want rivalries. Let us know what these guys are saying. Put the mic on the court. Let's let this happen. You know, you can bleep out things as they happen or what have you. You know, if there's something offensive, but let's let it happen. I've heard there's been some things said that would shock people if they heard them. Let's put it on. And then also, this goes along with it, relax on the techs.
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing that happened in the bubble was the referees could hear everything and they just wanted to give everybody a tech, like, oh, watch your foul mouth. Relax on it. There's nobody in the fans. There's nobody in the stands or only people in the suites. I guess we didn't talk about that. There's not going to be that many people in the stands. Might as well just allow them to bring the atmosphere themselves.
Yeah, I think in general, we really need to lighten up on the way that we approach profanity. Come on. We're in 2020. Right. If there's a single year where we should be allowed to just curse really loudly, it's 2020. That's where we're at. I also really like the idea of hearing the trash talk, because apparently they get, if you're not Dwight Howard, they get pretty clever. Like some of the trash talking gets really good. Like Dwight Howard had the super lame Batman stuff.
Yeah, I'm Batman. Awful. It's your boy.
But. But what were they calling Duncan Robinson? They were calling him that one cartoon from when you and I think it was a little after our time, but they were calling us like Johnny Rock. No, it's not Johnny Rockets. Whatever they were calling him, but it was just fantastic to like hear that aspect of it. And also I want like a point scale. Like if there's a really good, you know, joke thrown out there or line thrown out there, I think they should get a point. I think they should, you know, add that to the total.
Yeah, I'm with it. Number three for me, the play-in tournament. I think this one's going to happen anyway. I just thought it was great. If you're going to have a shortened season, I just talked about the higher variance. One injury maybe takes a team that should be in the playoffs out. Nobody wants to see that. We got to make this play-in tournament happen. So the NBA had talked about the 7 through 10 seeds all having a chance to get into it. I'm with it. I want the more teams that have a chance to get into the playoffs in those final spots, I'm in favor of.
Yeah. I like the idea of the play-in tournament a lot more also. So in Major League Baseball this year, they expanded the playoffs, and it was a 3-game series between the first and, you know, the Dodgers basically played all season for the opportunity to have faced two hot pitchers and have their season ended like in the very first round. That was pretty terrifying. But for the play-in game, you avoid that, right? The Lakers aren't, you know, whatever. The Lakers wouldn't have been in that. The Clippers wouldn't have been in that. Right. The Nuggets wouldn't have been in that. And also the league is talented enough to where those games, like as we saw this year, those games can be fantastic.
At least in the West, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not so certain. I mean, you're talking about your 10 seed might be Atlanta. You know, I guess entertaining, but
We'll see. I mean, I would also like for them. I know this isn't one of yours, but I wish they would just do away with the conference seeding and
that's
then
a good
those.
One. I should have had that one. That's a really good one. Yeah, that would be fun. Okay, number four. We're almost getting here. Elam ending for overtime. This is another rule. There's nothing worse than triple overtime in a regular season, especially if you're in a condensed schedule.
You even see it with the players. Do you see that sometimes?
Oh, of course.
Where they're like, oh my God, we play tomorrow. What are we doing?
we want to create league pass alerts. And if you have like an 8-point overtime, you know, it's like, oh, we got to watch this. We know exactly.
Yeah.
Every possession's great. Overtime, people, when they don't like the Elam ending, one of the things they say is like, oh, it messes with the stats. Like, you know, like you want a game to be able to go long enough. He could have gone for 50, but they ran up against the Elam ending. If you make it only for overtime, that doesn't become a problem. You had your 48 minutes to amass whatever your stats were. It's all the same. Overtime, Elam ending, 8 points or 10 points, whatever you want to make it.
I'm realizing I'm talking a lot about baseball here, but they did that weird thing this year where they had the runners start on second base for extra innings, and a lot of people hated it. I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I thought it, it.
Oh man, it, baseball especially. You know, the 17th inning, you're just like, oh, come on, guys! Like this is getting rough.
They have like the right fielder pitching at that point, you know. And but yeah, for basketball, that'd be fantastic. There should be. And then you could almost have like basketball red zone on super busy nights, where like it's getting close, and you can just kind of alternate between all of these games. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. And the last one, this one has to happen. The schoolyard pick for the postseason. We're way overdue with this. The number one seed gets to determine who their team is. And here's what I like about this one, especially this year, Anthony. I think it's in some ways important, more important this year, because I think there's going to be a lot of variance. Because a team like the Lakers, who should be favorites coming into the year, even though we don't know what their roster is going to look like, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's good enough for me to know they're going to be favorites. Yeah. They might not be a one seed this year. They might not be a two seed. And Anthony, there's a chance they're a 7 or 8 seed. And how unfortunate would it be if a team, you know, fights all the way to the one seed and it's like, oh, now you get LeBron James, who didn't take the whole regular season seriously, but here he is, and that's your matchup. Instead, if you allow this year to say, no, the one seed gets to pick their appointment or their opponent, two seed gets to pick whoever's left, three seed whoever's left, four seed, you do that. You create – not only is it, I think, in my opinion, more fair – but boy, does it create so much more drama. Doesn't the NBA want drama? This could be a whole show where you actually have to have a representative that has to go on the show and make this happen. To me, this has to happen. And this year it makes the most sense of all, because generally speaking, your one seed is a lot better than your 8 seed, and that's never – but this year, I just don't know if that's going to be as true as it usually is.
You know what this sounds a lot like, Adam?
What's that?
I'm going to be honest. Are you ready? This sounds a lot like a guy who roots for a Denver Nuggets team that is going to be probably at the top of the conference. The Lakers are going to take some time off, and you just don't want to see
the Lakers in that first. It's called a happy accident or happy coincidence.
As soon as you started, I was like, oh, I know where this is going.
But judge it on its own merits, though, for a second, though. Because I think this year in particular, like, there's some years people say, no, the tradition or this, that. But this year in particular, I just think we want teams to have an incentive to go, you know, hard through the regular season. And there's just not going to be – I think it's smart for a team like the Lakers, who had already proven it, who we know is going to be good at the end. I think it's smart for them not to go for the one seed this year. That means you don't want to punish the teams that do.
Yeah, so this would, I guess, take place right after the play-in tournament, right?
Yeah,
so,
and that's another reason for this, because the Lakers saw that this year, right? Everybody else started scouting their teams, and the Lakers didn't know who they had to scout. Was it going to be Memphis? Was it going to be Portland? You never want to create a scenario where the team that did the right thing and won through the regular season gets penalized.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about.
I like them. I like them a lot. I think in a season like this, and just in general, I enjoy where they tweak some things here and there and really have some fun with the way that the league kind of works within reason. Obviously, you don't want to you don't want to go overboard on it. But, you know, we knocked the Elam ending when it was first presented, and the way it was presented back when it was thrown out there for last year's All-Star game. And that wound up being one of the most fun All-Star games I have ever watched.
So fun. It was
incredible. And maybe not every tweak and every change, maybe they don't all go that same way. But this one, the more that you try it, the more often you could possibly stumble into an Elam ending All-Star game the way that they did. That was great.
No All-Star game this year. But I'm telling you, the 20-point rule, Anthony – don't tell me you wouldn't be just an extra little excitement. Your team is up 18. Oh yeah, you're into it. You're on the edge of your seat.
Somebody who like has never doesn't know that rule is a thing, right? And LeBron comes off the bench up 17. What is this guy doing?
It's gonna be great.
I enjoy it. Did you ever play, like, you grew up playing baseball, right? So the mercy rule way back in the day.
Oh, I 10 run ruled a lot of people.
Yeah, it was always such a great moment too, because the other team's like, oh, okay, yeah, our game's over now. That's unfortunate. Right. The other pair is like, well, good try, everybody. Anywho, that's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On NBA podcast. There's going to be a ton. We are heading into another Friday news dump, so I'm sure we are going to get some more information on what this next season is going to look like. The actual schedule itself is going to drop, I would imagine, relatively soon. They have to figure that out within a reasonable amount of time. And then you got the draft, the aforementioned race to team building that we're all going to go through, and then we're right back at it with camp. So what looked like a potentially lengthier amount of time where we had to fill some time for our shows, it is now we are right back to having to focus right back in on this next season. So make sure you guys are tuned into all of the shows across the Locked On NBA network, and then all of the Locked On shows for whatever team that you happen to be supporting. That's going to do it though for this week's episodes, and we will talk to you guys next Friday.